And I just want to be ready. I just want to be ready to go. I want to be ready. I just want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to be ready. Lord, I want to be ready to go. I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Well, I don't know how long I'll be here, 'cause Jesus said he'd come again. I will go with him when I hear him call my name. Oh, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to be ready when he calls my name. I want to be ready. Well, I cannot be sure of just when it will take place. Oh, but it does not matter, Lord, if I'm walking in your grace. So Lord, I want to be ready. Oh, Lord, I want to be ready to go. Oh, Lord, I want to be ready when he calls my name. Lord, I want to be ready to go. Well, I feel, Lord, it won't be long now until he comes for me. Oh, I know he's gonna take me with him. Lord, and at your feet I'll bow. So Lord, I want to be ready. Whatever it takes, Lord. Lord, I want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. Let's sing it this way together. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad I'm ready. Lord, I'm so glad I'm ready to go. Lord, I'm so glad I'm ready. Lord, I'm so glad I'm ready to go. Let's sing it again. Lord, I'm glad I'm ready. Oh, I'm so glad I'm ready. Lord, I'm glad I'm ready. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I'm ready to go. Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad I'm ready. I'm so glad I'm ready to go. I'm so glad I'm ready. Oh, I'm so glad I'm ready. Lord, I feel that it won't be long now until he comes back for me. I know he's gonna take me with him. Oh, and at his feet I'll bow. So, Lord, I want to be ready. Lord, I want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to make sure I'm ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Yes, Lord, I want to be ready with my lamps cleansed. I want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. Amen. Is that how you feel tonight? Amen. I feel that it won't be long now. Amen. God bless you. Musicians, you can be seated if you'd like tonight. And amen. We believe in praying for the sick. Amen. We see the results and believe in laying hands on the sick. And not because it's our hands, as Brother Layton was saying earlier, not just because it's him or I, but Brother Bram teaches us that any Christian is more than able to pray for the sick. So we believe tonight that if there's a need and maybe you can't get in touch with the preacher or the deacon or somebody to pray really quickly. If there's an emergency, you should be prayed up and ready to pray for somebody too if you need to. So, amen. We believe tonight and we thank God that he's given faith to us to be able to have confidence in his word, that when we pray we don't have to doubt, but we have confidence that he's more than able to perform that what he said he would do. Amen. We've been looking at questions and answers, and we want to continue on with that. And I've actually received quite a few more questions here in the last few days, so I appreciate that and appreciate the questions that are on the people's heart. And for the questions last week on the foolish virgins, we've actually had a lot of follow-up questions in regards to that. So as I said before, usually if there's a question on somebody's heart, usually there's something similar on somebody else's heart. And so we want to look into a few of those things. And so some of these that went along together, I'm going to try to look at them tonight. And then actually received an email this evening of some follow-up questions that will go right along with this as well that we'll maybe look at next Wednesday. So we'll just keep digging into it and see what the Lord has for us. But we'll probably be on, I don't know exactly how long, but for a few weeks here, Lord willing, we'll be on questions and answers on Wednesday night, unless the Lord just leads to do something different for a service. But the first question tonight, let's just stand, if you would, and have a word of prayer before we go into the service. I was thinking I had some scriptures here before the question, but we'll just go ahead and have a word of prayer and maybe just read a verse out of the Bible before we do that. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. And let's just look at this, Psalm 144. I'll just read a couple of verses here. Just feel like it's the providence of God. This wasn't pre-planned, but however the Lord leads. Amen. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them, shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Will I sing praises unto thee? It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speak vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our street, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Are you happy tonight? Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just reading some of your word before we enter into these questions tonight, I just ask you that you would just be with me tonight, Lord, and give me wisdom and strength. Lord, I don't want to answer any of these incorrectly, Father, but may you just
Lord, to the best of my knowledge and ability, help me to answer these questions. And if there is anything incorrect, Lord, may you just stop me. Lord, be with each one tonight. Lord, may we just receive a clear understanding of your word. Lord, we give you complete control of the service tonight. Lord, may it be for your glory. And Lord, may you just come and make your abode with us. We thank you for your presence here tonight. We just want to make you welcome in our midst, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And the first question tonight is, if someone is saved early in life, and then later in life turns back to the things of the world, but not denouncing their experience or salvation experience, if they die in their backslidden condition, will they still be saved based on their early experience of accepting Christ? In other words, if they embrace the world and have turned to the things of the world, such as drinking, cursing, vulgar living, but yet at one time knew the saving grace of God, is it once saved, always saved, or would they have to be restored again from their backslidden condition before they could enter into heaven? So we want to look at this by the quotes and the scriptures. I think it's a good question, and we want to look at this and see what the word said. There's actually a quote that I'm going to play here shortly. It was a little lengthy to read, so about a five-minute quote we'll play in regards to this, and hopefully by the word, looking into it, hopefully we can find a balance on this to see. Now, Brother Branham says in Future Home in 1964, he says, "You wasn't saved on any day, you was always saved." Amen. Jesus come to redeem that, but you was saved from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with. So we find out, you know, that many, especially the Pentecostals, many times they know the day and the hour, and they can tell you, "Oh, bless God, I was there when it happened." And they can tell you the place and who was preaching and what the altar looked like, maybe just a sawdust floor or whatever. And they can look and tell you, "Oh, bless God, I was saved on such and such a date." But Brother Branham said, "No, you wasn't saved on any certain day. You just recognized it on one day when God brought you into his presence long enough to accept it and receive it in that manner as far as accepting of it. But he said, you wasn't saved on any day, you was always saved. Because if you had eternal life, you had it to begin with. Eternal life isn't something that started back in 1998 when you came to an altar somewhere, but it was something that God had foreordained, and he knew who was going to be his, who would receive it and who would reject it. So if you're elected of God, I don't care. As we say, you can run, but you can't hide. Amen. You might be able to run, but he'll get you somehow. He'll either get you and turn you around to serve him, or if he can't bring you back, we'll look at it here in a little bit. Brother Branham said he'd take you to an early grave. So in God's covenant with Abraham, he's speaking of Jonah here, and he said, "They're lying vanities. I won't look at this whale belly in my condition." But he said, "Lord, once more will I look to your holy temple. For when Solomon dedicated that temple, he prayed and said, 'Lord, if thy people be in trouble anywhere and will look to this holy place and pray and hear from heaven,'" and he had confidence in the prayer of Solomon, the son of David. So here's Jonah, a prophet. He's down here. All he sees everywhere he looks is whale's belly. He looks to the left, up, down, right. Everywhere he looked, he had some pretty bad circumstances. Brother Branham will say it many times and say, "You might be in a bad condition this evening," but he said, "There's nobody here that has the symptoms that Jonah had." Down at the bottom of a sea, and everywhere he looked was whale's belly. So Jonah, knowing the word and knowing what had taken place in the days of David and the days of Solomon and the rebuilding of the temple there, how God allowed Solomon to rebuild it, he comes, and Solomon, in the dedication of the temple, he prayed this prayer and he said, "Lord, if thy people are in trouble anywhere, if they'll look to this holy temple and pray, Lord, may you just deliver them out of trouble." And here's Jonah in the belly of the whale. I don't know how he knew what direction the temple was, Brother Luke, but God let him know somehow. Somehow down in the whale's belly, God gave him a GPS and a coordinates to know this is the direction of the temple. And he turned his face and he said, "God, I'm doing what Solomon said. May you just grant it for me." And God came and heard his prayer. He said, and God sent an oxygen tank or something down there and kept him alive for 3 days. And if Jonah could have faith under those circumstances in the prayer of Solomon, who finally died, what was that word? A backslider. Died a backslider. How much more ought we to have faith tonight in the true Son of David, who's sitting at the right hand of God with his own bloody garments making intercession upon our confessions? Now, I don't believe that God would allow a man to die and go to hell that he had sent and penned several books of the Bible. I don't believe that in God, in his providence and in his predestination, there's no way that he would allow that for somebody that he was going to send to hell come and write his word for you and say, here's the word, but the guy that wrote it, he backslid and I sent him to hell. No, that's not my God. No, but in 1963, why Bethlehem? He said David's natural seed was Solomon, and it backslid, just like the other seed of Abraham did. It backslid, so did Solomon backslide. He got too many women, and the first thing you know, they led his heart away from God, and the way he went and backslid, died that way, backslid. There, that one's after the seals, if you're one of those people that don't take it before the seals. I just take it all. Amen. I know he said it became a new book after the seals, and we know more was unfolded, more revelation, but that didn't just throw away all the rest of it, because he said, remember, he comes around there at the end, he said, that man said, oh, Brother Branham, he said, it's easy for you to serve him, you know, being an older man and everything. Brother Branham said, I preached the same gospel when I was a young man. Amen. So we believe it tonight. But he said that he died that way, backslid. And Solomon being a king, he had married, David had 500 wives and Solomon had 1,000 wives. And all I know is that's a lot of mother-in-laws. It's a lot of mother-in-laws, Brother Yarborough. And as me and Brother Isaac Toy used to say, you go to a wedding and they've got all those little turkey sandwiches. You know, I said, my 500 wives, that's a lot of little turkey sandwiches that he had to pay for those weddings. But I guess he had the money to do it being king. But David with 500 wives and Solomon 1,000. And here some of Solomon's wives began to turn him to idolatry and he began to get his eyes off of God. Here this man that had came, the greatest, one of the wisest men that ever lived. He prayed for wisdom and God gave it for him. Brother Bram talked about the wisdom of Solomon, a greater than Solomon is here and all these different things. He told him how talks about how the Queen of Sheba came and how he discerned the thoughts that was in her heart and told her all these different things. And you know the stories how the two women came about the baby there and how God gave him wisdom on what decision to make and how the women came and tried to pretend that they were men. He had them walk for him and determine that they were women and all these different things that God gave Solomon wisdom on. And you know, we find out, but yet in all that, all the wisdom that God had given him, all the ability to build the temple and bring back the ordinances of the Lord and all that, and yet these women pulled him off and got him distracted into idolatry. And Brother Branham said that he died backslid. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We usually take that and say, well, if you know about the message and you know about the Bible and then you go back out and sin, you're just lost. But that's not what it's talking about. We'll look at it here in a minute, what Brother Branham said about this scripture. He talks about it in the Hebrews series. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful look for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall deliver the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that he hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And the people said, amen. Amen. So let's listen. I want to play this of Brother Ramsey here. Brother Branham speaking of him. And just play this for you to hear. And then we'll pick up on it and read another quote what he said about Brother Ramsey.
You may backslide, yes, sir. When you go back out, you'll be the most miserable person that you ever dreamed of in your life till you return. And if you fail to do it, God will take your life off the earth.
Amen.
God promised to do it. Here not long ago, I walked into Bargain's garage down here, and I was talking to a fine preacher, which is my neighbor here. And I always had the greatest respect for the man, and he was a good man, a fine preacher. Walked out on these streets during the time of the precious son and rolling products to preach the gospel. Yes, sir. Some man made fun of him right here on 7th Street. Said, why don't you You do so and so. He said, sir, this is a legitimate living. He said, I'm selling here some products of such stuff, this cake flour, whatever what it is, to do the best I can, but I'm a minister of the gospel right here at the Church of God, is Brother Ramsey. And he said, I'll do the best that I can. And so he told the man, he was really born in the Spirit of God. And I walked into Osborne's garage down there one day, and he said, I said, God bless you, Brother Ramsey. I said, he's a foreman. I said, look over my old car here. Got to take a trip. I said, just had a wonderful time. I said, I wish you was with me, Brother Ramsey. He said, well, I guess they've been all right, Billy. I look around, I thought, that don't sound right. You know, you can tell when something's happening. I looked around, he said, Brother Bram, I guess you know I don't serve the Lord no more. I said, what? I said, now you're joking me. He said, no, I don't serve him no more. Well, I thought he was kidding me. I just went on out. I went home and told media about it. I said, Brother Ramsey told me he didn't serve the Lord no more. There's something about that media's not just exactly right. It got on my nerves. I went back down again. I said, Brother Ramsey, come here, I'll talk to you. And he said, all right, Billy. I walked around. I said, Brother Ramsey, I was in here a couple days ago and you told me you didn't serve the Lord anymore. I said, you just teased me, wasn't you? He said, no, no. I said, Brother Ramsey, you mean you don't serve the Lord no more? He said, no. He said, I've backslid. I said, well, Brother Ramsey, you better get back to God. I said, come go with me in the meeting. He said, no, Billy. He said, I just don't care to serve him anymore. I said, you believe him? He said, oh, I believe him, but I just don't serve him. I quit. But there's been so many things. I said, Brother Ramsey, don't look at things. Look at him. Yeah. And he said, well, Brother Bram, he said, I just don't serve the Lord, and I'd rather not talk about it. I said, well, brother, God be with you. Help him. And a few days after that, he took sick. Another minister, I won't call his name, called him. I'm not sure. I believe he's sitting in the back right now. This minister went to him, a buddy. He said, Brother Ramsey, don't you want to come serve the Lord? He said, no. God gave him in through his messengers, both times warnings. He said, no. In a few hours, the man, he picked him up in his arms and he went home. God took him off the earth. Yes, yes sir. Remember Paul, what he told him over there, this man wouldn't obey the gospel? He said, turn him over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul will be saved. That's right. You can't play with God. Brother, that word's inspired every word of it. It's right straight to the human mind. That's right. You'll either toe the line, but if you're ever born of the Spirit of God, you are a son of God. Amen. Now, you come in. The dove and the crow wolf was in the ark. That's right. When they turned the old crow loose, let's type at its backside. The old crow flew from dead body to dead body, and he picked on the old dead carcasses. He was all right. Didn't make any difference to him because he was a crow to begin with. His nature, his appetite, his gastronomics could digest such a thing. Why, he was born with that kind of gastronomic. See? His gall and stuff in him would make that old dead bodies and make food for him. But when he was satisfied, and so is every man, I don't care how long you've been at church and turn you loose in the world, if you still can go out and do the things you once did and enjoy it, it shows you never come to God. Amen. But when he turned the dove loose to see what she'd do, Amen. A dove hasn't got any gall. No. It can't digest those things. If it would eat them, it would kill them. But the dove, she'd try to fly down, she couldn't fit it. She tried to fly out. She couldn't stand it. She lit in a little bush to get some rest, and she had an olive leaf in her hand. She'd come back and knock at the door. Father Noah, open up, let me in. I can't stand it out here. Every man or woman's born of the Spirit of God, sure you can backslide. But brother, if you're a child of God, you can't stand the things of the world anymore because your digesting things have been changed.
Amen.
Peter said, Lord, where would we go to? When he said, do you want to go also? When the rest of them turned away, he said, where would we go to? What could we do? You're the only one that has eternal life. And where can we go?
Amen. Brother Bram says in the Hebrews series about this same situation. I'll have to catch up with myself here where it started over. But he said, this little brother... He's speaking to Brother Ramsey again. He was a wonderful little brother. I believe a God-saved man. So here, we've got a man that backslid and died backslid. Brother Bram says he was a God-saved man. So does God save a man to lose him? If someone was saved, if they had a true experience early in life, and then they go out and they backslid and partake of the things of the world, not saying that they don't believe in it anymore, but saying that they just can't live it anymore, do they have to come back to God again to be saved? Or if they die backslid, are they saved? Brother Branham says again, Hebrews series, he was a real Christian. He says he started going down and got sick, see? God couldn't speak to him. I warned him. I did everything I could. Brother Smith went to him and warned him. Everybody tried to do everything they could for him. Still, he just shook his head. What happened? He took sick and died. He said that showed that he was a saved man. That showed that he was a saved man. If God cannot make him, bring him in obedience, he will have to take him out of the earth and bring him home. Didn't say he sent him to hell. Said bring him home. That's exactly what the Bible said. That's what the Bible promises. If you won't stand correction, you've got to come home. So God cannot lose you after he saved you. But he can shorten your days here and make you pay for every sin you've done. So if you sin, you're going to have to pay for what you've done. Just remember that. Now the Lord be with you. He said, I believe tonight that Brother Ramsey was saved. Absolutely, I believe it. But he just wouldn't obey God. And when he wouldn't obey God, God had to bring him home. That's the only thing to do, because what was it? He would bring a reproach and disgrace to the blood wherewith he was sanctified with. That right? And count the covenant an unholy thing. Hebrews, where we just read there. If that isn't just exactly what the Hebrew letter said, see, it would be impossible for him to be lost, but he would bring shame and disgrace. So God would have to take him off the earth and bring him home. That's exactly what had taken place. So here he dies in a backslidden condition. Here Solomon dies in a backslidden condition. Maybe you've got loved ones that died in a backslidden condition. You thought, I thought for sure they were saved. I thought, you know, I don't know what to think now. If they were ever really truly saved, God doesn't save a man to lose him. Now, were they really truly saved, or did they just come down and have an intellectual conception? I don't know. I'm not their judge. That's between them and God. But if they ever really truly had an experience with God and really truly got saved, God doesn't save you one day to lose you the next day. Remember, he said, Brother Bram said he didn't even save you on any certain day. If you were saved, you were always saved. So God might have to put you on a sick bed somewhere. He may have to, you know, bend your car around a tree in a car wreck or something to make you look up and bring you back. But if you won't listen, if you're his, he'll take you home so you don't bring a disgrace and a shame to his name, saying that, well, yeah, I was a Christian, all these things, but I, like Brother Ramsey, I just don't serve him anymore. What did God do? He sent warning after warning after warning, and then he took him home because he wouldn't heed the warning. So it's not something to play around with, but if you're God's, God's not going to lose you. Does it make a difference, they ask, if a backslider still claims to love the Lord or love the message, yet can no longer live it? I believe so. I believe, Brother Ramsey wasn't going and attacking the ministry of Jesus, or wasn't attacking the message or something like that. He felt like he couldn't live it anymore, and he just stops and he gives up, and he got discouraged. How many's ever been discouraged before? He got discouraged and he gave up. Well, a few of you must be a lot better off than I am. How many's ever got discouraged before? Amen. I've been discouraged. There's been times I felt like giving up, but there's something that keeps holding me. Amen. But Brother Ramsey, he gave up and just sat down and quit on God, and God gave him warning after warning after warning, but he was one of his, so he took him on home. Now, you say, well, what about these that, that God doesn't take home, and they just linger and linger and linger in sin? Well, I don't know. I'm not their judge, but maybe they never had an experience in the first place. Time would have to tell. Some of these things, God is the judge. He's righteous. He knows the heart. Many times we're looking at the exterior, and we see decisions, and we see the way people dress and the way they act and things like that, but God's looking on the heart. Most of us, if we would have been in David's day and he would have committed adultery with the woman and got her pregnant and then sent her husband out there to his definite death and had him killed and came back and loses the baby and all that, we would have thought, my, David has probably sent away his day of grace. You know, here he was, a man after God's own heart, and he's done all this, but God wasn't looking at David's mistake. He was looking at the heart. Did he have to pay for it? Absolutely. The sword never left his house because of that, because he shed the innocent blood of Uriah, his own sons trying to kill him, and you know, having relations with his daughters and his concubines and all these different things. The sword never left his home, and he had a constant struggle from that time forward where everything had just went perfectly for him before. But what did he do? He fell into sin, and he left off of God's path for him. God didn't send his soul to hell. God didn't just reject him and despise him, but he said, David, you're going to have to pay for that. So, we, you know, if we don't want to receive chastisement, then we need to live according to what the Word said. Amen. How would a person who is justified and sanctified but rejects the Holy Spirit act after they have rejected the Holy Spirit? Do they go back into the world and live a worldly life, even though they have been justified and sanctified? Is this the kind of person that would come against the message? Maybe they go back to a denomination? It's another good question, and you know, you kind of see the line of thought that people are thinking. I know many of you have loved ones or friends that are either backslidden or maybe not living where they should be with the message. Maybe they still claim the name of the message, but they're just not living what the message says, really. Or maybe some of them have rejected it and are attacking it or different things like that. And we begin to look at these things, and I thank God that he didn't make me the judge. That he's the judge, because he's more righteous than I am. He's more wise than I am. He can look at the heart and see when I look at actions, and we look at, you know, dress and hair and things like that, and that's all wonderful, and that's all part of it. But God's looking a little deeper than that at the heart, and he knows what's going on the inside and the condition of one person one day. Like Brother Ron Spencer, he preached one time on the difference a day can make. And for the good or for the bad, there's a lot that can change in a day. You know, sometimes people make a deathbed confession. I don't want to hold on to that and wait till the last minute, maybe not have time to do it. But God does allow some people to come in. There hung the thief on the cross, Brother Jimmy. And he didn't have much time left, but he knew who was hanging there beside him. And he asked for forgiveness. And he said, "You'll be with me in paradise." Here was another one right beside him, had the exact same opportunity, but rejected it. So God gives grace and grace and grace, and he extends mercy and extends mercy. And then still sometimes people just tread right over it and walk right over the top of it. Brother Bram said you have to fight your way to hell, because God sends his word, he sends his prophets, he sends his ministers, he sends good godly Christian people as a witness, and yet people still, they go right over the top of it. So in this question about how would a person act that was in this condition, would they go back to the world? Would they go back to the denomination? What would their condition be if they had rejected the Holy Ghost? Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus says, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Many times we look at this, we look at the flesh. Or many times we look at the wallet, you know, has God blessed them financially? Do they have a nice big home? Or, you know, do they drive nice cars or all those things? That's a Pentecostal way of thinking. Brother Branham said he got around those Christian businessmen. They said, "Oh, Brother Branham, God must be with us." Said, "We've built bigger buildings and we've got more people and we've done all these different things more than we did last year." Said, "Oh, you know, we've just increased so much." He said, "Hey, prostitution increased 40% last year. You think God's blessing them?" So it's not always, you remember he said in the church age book, some of us brothers just looked at it recently, I want to say Smyrnian church age, but I might be wrong, but it's in the church age book there, he said God's blessings, you know, as far as natural things, his sunshine and all that, isn't necessarily a sign that you're in the will of God, nor are trials and tribulations a sign that you're out of the will of God. We can't look at it, well, that we're looking at the outside, looking in, but God's looking at the heart, what's going on the inside here. He says in Stand Still, 1957, he said, "That rock and roll boogie-woogie Elvis Presley, a modern-day Judas Iscariot, that boy was a Christian in a Pentecostal church with the baptism of the Holy Ghost." Wait a minute. With the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know his pastor, his mother, and them well. Judas Iscariot got 30 pieces of silver out of Christ. He got a fleet of Cadillacs, but he sold his birthright. Now, if we just took that one quote there, we would be a confused people, because we don't believe that you can get the Holy Ghost and then go to hell. If God gave you the Holy Ghost, he said, Brother Bram tells us that Abraham, when he gave him that token, when he gave him that covenant, the seal of circumcision, all these different things, that wasn't what Abraham did. That was what God did, God accepting Abraham's faith. He said, the Holy Spirit is God accepting your faith. But he also teaches us that you can have it on your flesh. that the Holy Spirit can absolutely baptize you and come down and anoint your flesh. What was it? Remember the story he tells in Life Story and the Hebrew series and different ones? He said there was that man speaking in tongues like a machine gun. The other one interpreted. He said he got around both of them, and he said the little gift that God had given to be able to know something, he said the one, if I ever met a real Christian, he said that was one of them. He said he was the real genuine article. And he said, I got around the other one, and he said if there was ever a deceiver, it was that man. He was married to one color-haired woman and had a child with another colored-haired woman. And he said there he was, a deceiver, and yet the presence of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, falling on both of them, blessing both of them. If we would have been in the Spirit there, we would have said, oh, praise God, look how he's using those gifts of these men. And we would have been looking at this, but he was looking a little deeper, and he could tell one of them was a deceiver and one of them an absolute Christian. How could you tell by their fruits? How could you tell by just looking at the outside of these two men and seeing their gifts if you didn't have that gift of prophecy to look down and see what their little secret sin was in the background? How would you have been able to discern if we would have stood there? You know, maybe another guy sitting there on the stool, you know, never say a word, never hardly lift his hand or shout. We think, my, that guy sure don't have it, but maybe he was a lot better Christian than this deceiver over here speaking in tongues like a machine gun. So the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God blesses the people. Hey, Benny Hinn's getting people healed out here, many of them. Why? Because they think they're approaching God that way. Do I want to go follow him? Absolutely not. He doesn't have the word of God with him. He's left off. He doesn't believe God sent a prophet, not in the way we do at least. He talks good about him in one side of his mouth and talks bad about him the other side of his mouth, if you go look at it on YouTube. But he's not got the word for the day. Oral Roberts and different ones, A. Allen, Jack Cole, all these men, God used their ministries and healed the sick. Absolutely miraculous things happen. But yet A. Allen frequently backsliding, becoming an alcoholic, recovering, going back, backsliding again, becoming an alcoholic, always dealing with that because his daddy would get him drunk when he was a little boy to laugh at him and watch him falling around there. But yet an anointed man, Brother Branham talks about anointed ones at the end time, anointed with a gift of God that God used in a mighty way. But yet, what was the heart? I don't know. I don't know what the end is. I don't know what, I'm not his judge. But I know one thing, you can't deceive the people over here and then let God use you over here and then expect to make a way. No, you got to make a decision one side or the other. But God still can come and anoint. Hey, there's men that maybe you were baptized by, or as we said before, maybe they married you. Maybe you were standing in a service and got the Holy Ghost. And now those men might have left the message or might have backslid or anything. You question your experience then. You question your marriage with your wife. You didn't marry him. You married your wife. You didn't get his spirit, you got the Holy Spirit. I mean, it wasn't about him, the man that physically put you down in the water. It was about the experience you had with Christ, accepting him as your Savior. So we don't look at those things that you know, men are going to fail. I may never fall into sin or leave the message or something like that, but I'm sure I'll fail you in some way. I'll forget to read your prayer request like I did Sister Stephanie tonight, or I'll forget to call you back or text you, or I'll do something maybe disappoint you. We're men, we fail. But God is sufficient, and he's never lost one yet that was his. The question is, are you his? He says, Pentecostal, speaking in tongues for the Holy Ghost. Here he says, look at Elvis Presley, a 1947 version of Judas Iscariot, joined the Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, speaking in tongues for the Holy Ghost. There's a difference. Didn't say here that he had the Holy Spirit down in his soul, but speaking in tongues for the Holy Ghost, and sent more souls to torment than all the bootleg joints there's been in the last 50 years. Perverted the mind of little teenage children all over the world till little girls would grab off their underclothes and throw it on the platform and him to autograph. So vulgar that they won't show him in the television from his waist down, the way his body, the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues for evidence. Oh, brother, if the Holy Ghost was there, it wouldn't act like that. You know better than that. Certainly not. God loves cleanness and purity and holiness. Amen. Sorry, I didn't skip it over there for you. He loves cleanness and purity and holy. And what is it? God was still able to anoint his flesh. He would still, you know, they'd go and have rock and roll concerts, and then him as musicians go to the hotel and play gospel music till 4 in the morning. What was he doing? Like Esau, trying to get back in the presence of God, but yet there was something about it that he, you know, here he is, a deceiver, here he is, a Judas, but yet trying to get back into that atmosphere. There was Dathan and Korah. Here they were deceivers, but they followed right along with Moses for a while. You wouldn't have been able to tell that they were deceivers till right up at the very end. How did they act? They tried to pull off and start their own movement. Esau, here was Esau. Brother Bram said, as far as his works, he was a better man than Jacob, but yet he despised the birthright, and here he rejects it. And then it says that he sought the birthright with tears, but he couldn't find his way back to it. Just like Elvis, constantly going and trying to sing the gospel songs and trying to get back in that presence. Why? He enjoyed it on his flesh. He enjoyed the blessings of the Spirit, but he didn't want to accept it down here and give up all the other things that he had. Here's Judas rejecting it. All these different ones rejecting it. You say, how would they act? It depends on who they are, when what spirit they have. They might have an old lust spirit on them, or an alcoholic spirit, or a drug spirit, and they might go right out, and they might go to the world just as hard as they can, and you might be able to see it and say, oh, yeah, I see that guy over there, what he's doing. Or they might have a religious spirit, and they might hang around the message because they love to show people how many quotes they have memorized and that they can talk about it, but yet down on the inside, just as black and smutty as anything, and just absolutely bitterness and hatred and pride and malice and envy and all these different things. Hey, there's a lot of them walking around the message today like that. I'd rather be drunk out here somewhere. We could identify them a little bit easier. But, you know, when they'd almost, you know, as my dad and I were talking earlier, some of them that would almost literally physically go and want to kill some of these brothers because of things that they've said or stands that they've taken for the message, and yet they claim to be message believers. But yet they'd go and do that. It shows that there's something wrong on the soul. They may not be going out and getting drunk or drug addicts or anything like that. Then there's some that get a religious spirit on them, and they, you know, it's not enough for them to go back to the world, but yet they can't stay around the message, so they go back to the denomination. Why? They still want to have that religious spirit. I thought, oh my, how could you ever, after you saw serpent seed and Godhead and predestination, go and sit in a Baptist church with their bobbed-haired women singing in the choir and waving their hands? Oh my, I'd rather be in an alley somewhere, drunk as a skunk. But there's people that do it. Why? Because they've got a different spirit on them. They've got a religious spirit. They want to be around that. Here Cain, actually the physical son of Satan. Here's Cain, and what did he do? He came and made an altar and worshiped before the Lord and tried to make sacrifice before the Lord. Why? He had a religious spirit on him. Brother Bram said it's the hardest one to deal with. Because, you know, an old drunk or an old prostitute or an old drug addict out here, they know they're wrong. And they know, you know, if they don't get an experience with God and come out of that where they're headed. But yet there's others that they sit in a church, maybe cross their arms and look around at everybody, think they're better than everybody, think that they can prove everybody wrong. And you're never going to be able to convince that guy that he's wrong unless the Holy Spirit just really moves on him. Why? Because he's dealing with a different spirit than they are, but yet it's still an evil spirit that they're dealing with. So I don't know if that answers you or not, but, you know, just to tell by their acts, if they had rejected the Holy Spirit or rejected the message or something like that, unless their fruits really just boldly showed forth what it was, they could sit and hold that thing back in their heart for years and you would never know it. But yet God knows. God's able to look down the heart. Hey, a lot of these that have left the message, this isn't something new. They've been questioning this for years in their minds, and they've been looking for an excuse. Many of them just wanted to go out and live worldly and leave their wives or do whatever that they had up their sleeve that they wanted to do, and they've just been looking for an excuse. But that spirit laid there dormant all those years, just dealing with them and working on them until the time presented itself. Would God hear these people's prayers or bless them anymore? For some reason, this is confusing to me, because they have been cleaned and set aside for service. Talking about those that went on, like Judas, to sanctification and justification, but yet couldn't go on into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, depending on their condition, God could hear their prayers for certain things, and God could absolutely bless them. As we talked about, those speaking in tongues and different things, even gifts. Brother Bram said, and the Bible tells us, gifts and callings are without repentance. There are people that are gifted singers, gifted musicians, even gifted preachers, that God begins to deal with that gift in their life long before they ever come to Him. And maybe they use it in the wrong way, or maybe they use it in the right way sometimes and then get dragged off into other things for a while, but that gift's still there. So God can absolutely, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Hey, my weeds got just as much rain these last few weeks as my flowers did. They were just as happy out there and rejoicing. You know, they just don't know that I'm going to come and chop them down and, you know, burn them like God's going to do the unjust and the ungodly. But they're enjoying the blessings just as much as the flowers are. So God can absolutely come and bless them, maybe even answer the prayers to a certain extent. But to be able to go on into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, unless they're His, they'll never be able to do it. And if they go and walk away and never had a true experience with God, never really got saved, then they won't be there. And if they had a real salvation experience, you say, how do you know? I don't know. I don't know. That's between them and God. Hey, there's imitators of the Holy Ghost. There's imitators of salvation. There's imitators of speaking in tongues. All these different things. The best way that I know of to tell, you say, how do you know if we got the Holy Ghost then? Well, the best way that I know of to tell is what Brother Bram told that man. He said he found that little tract down in his pocket and said he was a car salesman and said he reached down there and somebody had slipped a tract down his pocket and said, where will you spend eternity? And he said, I just pitched it in the garbage. He said, my wife went to church and things, but I didn't care anything about that. But he said, it just began to gnaw at me. Well, you've got to answer that. Where will you spend eternity? And he said, so I began to attend church. He said, I went to Billy Graham's meeting, and I walked up for salvation. He said, I still just didn't feel like I had the Holy Ghost. He said, so I went to Oral Roberts' meeting seeking, and he told me to speak in tongues. He said, I spoke in tongues, and I still didn't feel like I got it. So he said, then I went to the Christian businessman, and he said, I'm seeking the Holy Ghost, and just seems like I can't get it. And they said, well, go to Brother Branham. He's a prophet, and if there's something in your life preventing you, he said, you know, you'll be able to talk to him, and maybe he can show you what's wrong in your life. And so he goes to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham said, you've had it the whole time. He says, excuse me? He said, well, when you got that little tract, he said, you were headed this direction. And then he said, when you received that, he said, there was something down inside of you that said, you've got to answer that. And he said, you turned and headed this direction. It was a changing of directions. It was a changing of nature. And what did it do? What does the Holy Spirit do? It led him and guided him into all truth. It led him from Billy Graham to Oral Roberts to Brother Branham. If that isn't the evidence of the Holy Ghost, I don't know what it is. He changed his ways, and the Holy Spirit led him to the truth. Now you say, well, we'll get into this some with some of the other questions, but you say, well, Brother Branham said, that the Holy Ghost for our day, he says in the church age book many different times, is believing the word for your day. No, he didn't. He said receiving the Holy Ghost is accepting the word for your day. Satan believes and trembles. There's a multitude of people out here that say, bless God, God sent a prophet. There's even Pentecostals that believe that, but they didn't accept the message for their day. They believe it, they confess it with their lips, but their actions and their life and their choices prove that they never really truly accepted it. So they can't go on into the Holy Ghost until they continually accept. This man, God turned him, and he just continually accepted salvation, the gifts of tongues, and going on and on and on. He had it all the time, and it was leading him and guiding him. Others claim it, they try to get it, they look for it, they seek it, but they're constantly something they're holding back. Well, I can't give this up, and I can't accept that, and I don't know about this quote, and I don't know about that scripture. Something constantly hindering them and holding them back. But if you're really a child of God, you can say amen to all the word, not just the ones that rub you the right way, or not just with your lips, amen, 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 but with your life, be able to accept. And even if you're wrong, say, Lord, I know I'm wrong, but I know that your word is right. Oh my. Well, the clock's starting to get away from us, but we're going to try to go a little further. He says, now, in looking at this and talking about it, now, to go on a little further with this question, how would you know, and would God answer their prayers and things like that? There is a point that someone would reach. Brother Bram calls it sending away your day of grace, where there's absolutely no returning back. Now, Judas, here sat Judas, and he was constantly the spirit inside of him. There was something about it. He always questioned Jesus. He always had something in him that was looking for a mistake, but yet there was something that he still followed along with it to see what was happening. He was curious, maybe, to see what this was all about, but there came a point in time where he goes, and he absolutely betrays Jesus, and he goes and receives money from these men to betray him, and yet still there's something about it. He's still attending the meetings. He's still going around Jesus, still trying to get in Jesus' presence. Here he is sitting at the Last Supper, but then he leaves and he departs, and when he leaves that presence and he goes out again to go and to betray him, it said, then Satan entered into him. Then Satan entered him. Now that spirit had been there all the time. He had been the son of perdition from the time he was born. God knew who he was going to be. Jesus in a flesh body recognized who he was going to be and knew what he was going to do all the time, yet he didn't treat him any different. Just showed him just as much love as the rest of the disciples, treated him the same way as the rest of the disciples. But there was something down inside there that always questioned and always hindered and always held back. But now it's come to its maturity, and Satan actually enters into him. And from that point on, there was no turning back. He might have tried. He might have wept. He might have cried. All these different things. But Satan actually enters into him. He sent away his day of grace. I'm sure with Elvis and different ones, Esau, all these different ones, they tried for a while to get back. They wept, sought it bitterly with tears. But there came a point to where they sent away their day of grace. And once they reach that point, you will be able to tell a difference if they do that before they die. Well, let's look at it. Because many people hear that, send away their day of grace, and they think, you know, many people think about the unpardonable sin. They think, oh, Lord, have I blasphemed? Have I done this? Have I done that? If you had, we'll look at some of the prescription of what Brother Branham says. Because many times Satan will come and fight people, and they'll say, well, I made a mistake, and I did this, and I did that. I guess I'm just sending away my day of grace. I guess I blasphemed, or I did this, or I did that. Well, let's look at the prescription for what he says about sending away your day of grace. He says an expectancy. He's in a prayer line. How do you do, sir? Now, there's something strange about you, sir. Satan has desired to take your life. You're all tore up. You think you've sent away your day of grace. You think your life is ruined. Do you love Jesus? What makes you love him? Before there could be anything to be there to make you love him, there has to be a creator to create love in your heart. Is that right? If you'd send away your day of grace, you would hate Jesus. But you love him, and you're all right, and the devil's just lying to you. You're nervous. Come here, and I'll cast him away for you if you'll believe. Do you believe it? He said, bow your heads and keep your heads bowed, everyone, till you hear me say, raise up. He said, this is demonology. Hear this man, this tormentor, this spirit that's on him, trying to tell him that he sinned away his day of grace, trying to tell him there's no more hope. But here he comes across the prophet. He says, Almighty God, be merciful to the boy. He stands here, and Satan trying to get him to get in this condition to commit suicide. He said, but thou art here to relieve the boy and to make this evil spirit go. And thou hast said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. Then upon the authority of God's word, as a believer, I now ask the spirit that's on the boy of unbelief to leave him, go out in the name of Jesus Christ and bother him no more and set him free, and may the enemy be bound and leave this room and torment no one else in Jesus Christ's name. Now you're all right, he said. Now this is just, it wasn't, you know, 5 years or 10 minutes. He finishes the prayer and he says, now you're all right. How could he tell? Remember, he said, somebody come up the line and said, I see a dark shadow around you. It's fear, or it's death, or it's cancer, or something like that. He said, now it turned light all around you. So him looking in this other dimension, he says, now you're all right. Now you can raise your head. Feel all right now, son? Is that right? Devils, you'd have committed suicide in a few days. That was on his mind. Here, a prophet of God telling him what was on his mind. That was on his mind. He thought he'd send away his day of grace. When he come up, a real black, heavy like fog meeting me in the face. That's devils. The boy is free. Now feel happy. Go on home rejoicing, thanking God for his goodness to you. He said, God bless you. He talks again of the vision that he had of, you know, Brother Branham standing there and seeing all the sin and things in that little cafe, and the woman sitting there, an older lady with short hair and short skirts, and sitting with those two men and all the different things going on. He said he was sitting there judging her in his mind. Why? He was looking at this, like many of us do. But God was looking down a little deeper on the soul, and he said he stepped out there, and he said God gave him a vision. He said he saw Jesus, and he said he was packing. He said it looked like he was packing the sins of the world. And he said he was standing there, and he said every time it would go around, he said that sin would hit him. And he said the blood of Jesus would act like a bumper to prevent it from taking his life. He said, is that the sins of the world? He said, no, that's just your sins. I know there's a lot that thought he was sinless, but he didn't think so. He was a sinner saved by grace. That's more of a miracle for me that God could use him in the way he did. He wasn't Jesus Christ. He was a sinner saved by grace, but God used him in a way that we haven't seen since the dawn of time, the things that happened in his ministry. He said, my humble little ministry, even in more of a capacity than he did his own. He said, that's a great big statement, but he said he said it. He talks about this vision of Jesus packing his sins. And I told her just exactly the vision I'd had. I said, the blood of Jesus, sister, still atones for you. As long as you're mortal like this, you still have a chance to be saved. But I said, when you go beyond that blood, you're already judged. I said, won't you? She told me a story, and it was enough to grind the heart of a stone man, how that she once was raised in a Christian home, an old-fashioned Methodist parent who went to church and did what was right. She married a husband. He started drinking. She had daughters, and they were even members of the church themselves, and how she took the road that was wrong. She said, I've sinned away my day of grace. I said, look, do you still have respect for the Lord Jesus? She said, I do, sir. I said, then he hasn't left you. I said, no, he's still got mercy for you. There was something that was different. There was something that was different about her, that she still had something in her heart to have love and respect for God. Now, he tells the story of a lady that was in a Baptist revival that he was having when he was still a Baptist preacher there. And he said he saw her in the service and began to speak to her and tell her that God was dealing with her life and calling her. And he said when he went out of the service that night, she said, if I want somebody to tell me about it, I'd have somebody tell me that had a little bit more sense than you did. And he said, well, sister, God was calling you tonight. I believe she was even a deacon's daughter. And she went out, and he said, he came through a few years later. I don't have time to, there was a lot longer quote, but you can go and search it if you want. And he said he got down, he was walking through town at a place he was at back there in that same area to preach. And he said it was a few years later. And he said he got down, he said it was in the red light district. And he said there was a girl sitting on the side of the street there. And he said, I thought, that looks like that girl. I wonder if that could be her. And she said, hey, preacher. He said, real sarcastic like. I've had a few of them say it like that to me before. Preacher. Real sarcastic like, you know. And so, you know, he comes along and she says, preacher, she said, you want a drink of my whiskey? He said, no, you know I don't do that. He said, she got her out a little cigarette and put some dope in it and began to smoke it. Said, you want some of my cigarette? He said, no, ma'am, I don't. She said, well, you want to come up to my apartment? He said, shame on you. You know I'm a minister of the gospel. And he said, he started to walk on. She said, just a moment before you go. And he said, she told him he could tell it anywhere he wanted. Said, you remember that night that you were trying to talk to me? He said, yeah, I remember it. She said, my heart has become so black till I could, here's the remark she made, he said, I could see my own mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh at it. That's the danger of rejecting Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, some other time, you might get so hard and so calloused you won't want nothing about it. And that's what this world is today. It's getting so calloused till it don't want Christ. It's got so much luxury in things. What is it? It's something, you look at the world today, people out here, just insane things that they're doing, crimes that they're committing, things that they're doing, completely out of their mind. Brother Branham said 50 years ago, 1964, 1965, he said if the world stands another 50 years, it'll be completely insane. What do we look around? We look around and we see it. They're completely insane. Every time you pick up a news article and read it, complete insanity around the world. Why? Because they rejected the Lord Jesus. And they rejected the message that he sent, and they rejected, and he gave grace, and he gave mercy. And then there came a point where he said, grace is gone. They send away their day of grace, and what has it done? It's turned them into complete insanity on that part, to where they might go out and do anything, absolutely anything. Why? Because they kept rejecting. Now they would do things that no normal human being would do, but yet there's no conviction there. There's nothing to hold them back, nothing to prevent them, because they've turned away their day of grace and they've sinned. And just like her, to see her own mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh at it, that's completely insane. But yet there was something about it. She had rejected it so long. There was no desire. There was nothing there. There was nothing to desire. It, nothing to want that presence, nothing to love it, nothing to respect it. She had gone so far. So if someone goes to that point, I'm sure you would be able to recognize it. But until they get to that point, there's nothing that I can point you to say, this person, they've sinned away their day of grace because here they've done this, this, and this, and they've blasphemed or all these different things. There's people that I fear for that I believe may have blasphemed, but I'm not their judge. I don't know where God will cut off the grace for them, but I know when he does cut off the grace, they won't want anything to do with it anyhow. So we look and we see, we can't look just on the outside. There was Brother Branham looking at that lady in the cafe. Most of us, to look on the outside, we would have thought, oh, there's no chance for her. But God shows him a vision and said, but I'm looking down on the inside of her heart. So we go along, and we want to try to, as I said before, if I err in anything, I want to err on the side of grace. I don't want to take away any hope that you have of salvation for yourself or your parents or your loved ones or your friends or whoever it would be, and say, hey, there's no chance for them because I'm not God. I don't get that right. I don't have that ability to say. Brother Branham, if he was here, he could look into their lives and tell whether there was still hope for them or not. I'm not a prophet, so I don't have that ability to do it. All we can do is look by the Word and show you the quotes and scriptures and try to find a balance to see these things. Now, endless line of thinking and going along here, even with how those that rejected it turned to insanity, but yet you can be completely insane, Brother Branham said, and have the Holy Ghost. So for some of you, I know many, some of my own loved ones, some of the ones here, some of their loved ones going into dementia or Alzheimer's or things like that. I know my grandmother, she never would have a TV her whole life. And yet when she got up to a certain age and began to get dementia and things, here she was sitting there watching old love story movies and things, Pretty Woman and all this stuff. Why? She thought in her mind she was reverting back to a teenage girl, trying to get a boyfriend, all these different things. Why? Satan had begun to decay her mind and attack her in that way. But down on the inside of that soul, there was something that had anchored that it didn't matter what he could do. I know different ones. There's a brother here locally that his family wanted to bring him to church, but they said now his mental capacity, sometimes he'll yell out curse words and things like that. Why? Because he's gone so far into Alzheimer's that he doesn't realize what he's doing. Satan is able to torment his mind, but if he really has the Holy Ghost, which I believe he does, that don't have anything to do with the soul. Let's just read you a quote to get that established for you. Demonology in the physical realm. Many times you can see a person maybe of insanity. Now, they may be yet a converted person, filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet be totally insane, see? That's right. That has nothing to do with the soul. It's a tormentor, see? Something that torments. Something to torment their mind. Something to attack them up here. This doesn't have anything to do with down here. Now, that's good and that's bad, because you got some people, maybe completely insane, lose their mind, and still have the Holy Ghost down here, and Satan never be able to get to that. He can make them so insane they don't know their own name, don't know their children, don't know their loved ones, don't recognize them. And yet, as Brother Layton talking about some of the people, you begin to talk about God, and there's something they remember that side. Why? Because they're not speaking from here anymore. They're speaking from here. And yet you go along, then there's others that they've got it up here as far as the spiritual side, and they can maybe quote it to you, maybe never say anything vile or impure, or never say a curse word or anything like that, and yet they don't have it down here. I'd rather be the other way. Like the man writing it on the wall, the love of God, how rich and pure. There was something, they might have thought he was insane up here, but there was something down on the inside down here that he knew what he was talking about. Amen. So we can't just, I think many of us, with friends and loved ones and different things, maybe went back out to the world or went and turned against, maybe not turned against the message, but say they don't believe it, or many going astray different ways and doing different things, falling into sin, falling back into the denominations, whatever it would be. And I think we get to a spot to where we're looking for a sign. Lord, give us something that we can tell by a physical, visible sign of what their condition is. You may not get it this side of the river. I don't want to tell you that you will, because you may not never know. I'm sure some of Brother Ramsey's family probably thought for sure he was lost until a prophet came along and said Brother Ramsey was a God-saved man. What a wonderful surprise for them. Remember, he said there's many that'll be there that you won't think will be there, and there's many that you thought will be there that won't be there. Why? Because God's looking at the heart. We can look at actions. We can look at statements. I pray that some of them have lost their mind, because then they would have an excuse at the judgment day that they would maybe not know what they were doing, didn't have control over what they were doing and saying. But for the others, they'll have an opportunity to come back to God. Or if they're his, he won't allow them to stay in that condition. He'll either bring them back to him or he'll take them home. So hopefully that's a help to you tonight, looking at the quotes in the scriptures. I don't have all the answers, but we know where to go to get them. And we believe it tonight. There's another question I was going to try to get to, but time's just getting away with us. And we'll pick it up maybe next Wednesday night if the Lord leads. But we've got several other questions that we want to get to, some in this regard and some in regards to other things. But I thank God that we have a place to go to for the answers. There's many people that outside of the message that they have the same questions you do, and they don't have any place to go to get the answers. But I thank God that we have a place to go. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, some of these things you didn't answer, clearly enough of what I wanted to hear. Well, I'm sorry, some of it's not clear enough in the scriptures and the message for me to be able to say thus saith for each individual circumstance. But what I don't believe we should do is put God in a box and say, well, this person acted this way, so we're going to put them in this group with all these other people, and this person acts this way, so we're going to put them in a box with all these other people. No, you're looking at the flesh, and you're looking at acts, you're looking at works, you're looking at emotions or ideas or all these different things. God doesn't judge by that. God judges by what's on the heart. And even though people may say things, you know, sometimes as a kid, you might get mad at your parents and say, I can't stand to be around you. I hate you. And they're just mad in the moment, and they're emotionally expressing themselves. They don't mean that. Maybe turn around the next 5 minutes and hug you and say, oh, I love you, Daddy. I didn't mean it. What is it? One speaking from up here out of anger, and one speaking down here from the soul, from what they really feel. So just because somebody backslides or they get upset or they get confused or they get in a condition to where maybe intellectually they're speaking things that they don't really mean from their heart, you let them get under conviction good enough. You get them in the presence of God, or you let them get sick enough or desperate enough, and then they'll really speak from their soul and find out what's really down there on the inside. But, you know, we believe it tonight. We love the Lord, and I, as we said before, I want to be ready. And it's not playing around time. I don't want to have to wonder these things for myself. I don't want people to have to say, well, I wonder if old Brother Nathan was lost or saved because he did this and he did that and all these other things. I just want to be ready. Amen. I don't want to be in the condition that we have to wonder, and oh my, is this one a foolish virgin? Are they going to make it? Are they still going to be saved even though they're not bright? I just want us all to get to the condition where we're filled with the Holy Ghost, where we can move on and see the work of God just continue to move, even amongst the young children, different things, sing just a little revival. It's wonderful. It's encouraging to me. It's in the presence of God. Things like that can happen. And it's sad, you know, Satan has discouraged so many today. And he's deceived them by thinking that, you know, that what God wants them to do is isolate themselves away from everybody. God didn't say that. He said to separate from sin, but he didn't say to separate from our brothers and sisters. And I thank God for his presence here, that he gives us service after service. We're so blessed. So blessed. Not because of me, or not because of Brother Layton, or because of this building. We appreciate those things. We appreciate the musicians. We appreciate, but it's because of his presence. And we always want to make his presence welcome. We want to stand for this word, even if it takes the hide off of us. Some questions, they're hard. Maybe I don't answer them the way you want me to, but I'm trying to answer them the best I know by the word. And we just want to stand for it with everything that's within us. I want to hold the door of grace open just as wide and as far as it can be held. Amen. And if God, at the end of the judgment, if he decides to send some to hell, Brother Branham said it this way. He said, even if he sends me to hell, he said, I want to love him so much that I would still love him. He said, if there's such a thing as love in hell, that I would still love him. Because we all deserved hell. There, as we looked at with Barabbas, there was none of us that were worthy, but he's worthy. And he paid the price for us. I'm glad that I don't have to pay the price, that he already paid it for me. He was worthy when I was so unworthy. And yet he came and paid the price for me. If people could just accept it, if they could just accept the simplicity of the word, it's not something to be argued about and debated about and something that should be confusing or something that should be, something that turns people away because they can't do this and can't do that. It's a word of love. It's a word of deliverance. It's a word of truth. I thank God that we've been able to receive it by his grace. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. Anything that I do or that I say here at the church, you may not understand it all, you may not agree with it all, but just know that the motives and the desire of my heart is to do what's right by the word and how the Lord leads me. Sometimes maybe I preach too long, sometimes maybe I don't preach long enough, but everything that I do, my desire is to follow his leading and to do his will. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be. I'm not even anywhere able to attain that. I know none of us are, but I do want to serve him to the best of my ability and do all that I can to be a blessing and a help to people. Some of the questions and things that people have had recently, you just don't know. I told my wife, some of these people sitting at home criticizing, they don't know. They're not fighting a battle. but to sit and to try to be an encouragement to people that some of these questions just between life and death with them, you know, about them, about their loved ones, about situations, about marriage, about all these different things that people are facing. And, you know, then it's sometimes on me, Brother Jimmy, that if I answer them wrong or lead them wrong or guide them wrong, God will hold me accountable for it just as much as them. It's not easy sometimes, but I thank God that he's given me, the wisdom that he has to be able to try to be a help to somebody. I want to do all that I can to be a help to the kingdom of God, to be a help to you, to be a help to anybody that I can. And like I said, that doesn't make me perfect. I'm sure there's many times I fail and make mistakes, but I want to just keep pressing on. I want to see you keep pressing on into the kingdom of God. I believe there's so much more for us that, you know, if we can just let go and let God, that he's got a great thing in store for all of us, for not just here, but for the bride of Jesus Christ. I begin to see him moving, in, you know, in just such a phenomenal way here in the services among the people. And that takes more than a sermon. It takes more than a song. It takes the presence of God. And it takes people that are willing to accept it and believe it. So we thank God for it tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. Church, I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, yes, he's an yes, he is. Church, I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is, right on time. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And now I feel like praise. Yes, I do, oh Lord, I feel like praising him. Well, I want to praise him in the morning and praise him all day long. Lord, I feel like praising him. Well, church, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Oh, well, now, why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? We should praise him every morning and praise him all day long. Lord, I feel like praising him. Oh, now, why don't you praise the Lord? Oh, yes, now, why don't you praise the Lord, while you have this chance? Oh, we can praise him every morning, praise him all day long. Oh, I feel like praising him. Oh, and I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that my Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, King Jesus set me free. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I'm shouting victory. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I'm shouting victory. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that my Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm glad that Jesus set me free. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Amen. Well, I hope you've been enjoying the questions and answers. And if I ever, you know, if you feel like I didn't answer it maybe clear enough, or if you still got a question on it, feel free to just send me a follow-up question on it, or ask me for clarification. If you if you misunderstood something, I'd be happy to try to help. We just want to be a help, however we can be. And I know some of these questions are weighing on people's hearts, and it's serious things. But I know that the Lord's made a way. Thank God that we have the truth that we can look into and see what He has for us. Little Maddie back there had asked that I'd sing this tonight, so you help me sing it. It's in C, Brother Joshua. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, just magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Is His name, for He provideth all my needs. Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provideth all my needs. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, just magnify the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's just have a word of prayer before we go. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for these requests, Lord, that came into the service tonight, just ask You to be with each one. Be with each family that's represented here, Lord, and those that wanted to come but couldn't make it due to circumstances, Lord, just ask You to be with each one, protect them on the way home, be with them throughout the rest of the week. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit just be the unseen guest in each home, Lord, and throughout them, wherever they would go throughout the rest of the week, Lord, just bring us back at the appointed time. Lord, may You just have more of a blessing for us, Lord, and a greater heights, Lord, and deeper depths that we can go into Your love, into Your word, Father. Lord, may You just continue to keep unfolding Your word to the bride, Lord, as going back and, Lord, and listening to tapes, maybe 50, 60 years old now, but it seems like every time we go back and listen, there's something new that we've missed or something that we need for today, Lord, that maybe we didn't need yesterday or didn't recognize yesterday, but now we have need of it today, Lord. And thank You for eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. Thank You for just giving us peace and joy and love. Lord, may You just be with each one. Satan, I know, is going about as a roaring lion, trying to destroy, trying to discourage, trying to upset any way He can, Lord. But in Your name, we press on, Father. Lord, we thank You for all that You do for us. Lord, we love You. And help us to always just, Lord, live a life that's worthy of the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing it as we go. Hosanna, blessed. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation.